1925 brought new names and new faces, as every new year does. Eugene O'Neill introduced his play Desire Under the Elms. Lon Chaney drew gasps and screams with his Phantom of the Opera. Crossword puzzles provoked a sharp increase in dictionary sales. And the San Francisco Chronicle teamed up with Hale Brothers in the operation of KPO, which then was featuring such names as Cy Trowbe, Roberta Leach, Cheerio, Dobbsy, Gypsy and Marta, and oh, a host of others. And representing the Chronicle tonight, well, I can't read from a formal script in introducing the next speaker, because, see, it goes back a long time, longer than we like to admit. But there used to be a time when I would pick up the telephone and ask for the city desk of the Seattle Times, and I'd say, Bill, I'm lost in the woods way out north of Bothell. What would I do? And he would say, just stay right there lost. You know, I always have to thank him, too, because I stole a lot away from him and the editor character. But anyway, I'll go back and make it a formal introduction if I have to do it. The associate editor of the San Francisco Chronicle, William D. Chandler. Come on in, Bill. Good luck to you.
Thank you, my very old and my very good friend, Hal Burdick. My time in San Francisco does not go back so far as the beginning of the Chronicle's association with Hale Brothers in station KPO. But it does go back 16 of those years. And I know the Chronicle takes great pride in the fact that with Hale Brothers, we pioneered in establishing radio in San Francisco. And during the first years of the life of station KPO, we were responsible for many innovations in Western broadcasting. KPO was the first station to broadcast grand opera and the symphony programs direct from the stage of the Civic Auditorium. Also, the first football games to be aired here came over station KPO. It is worth noting, too, that some rare artists were developed in the young station, artists whose names now are printed in the large type. In 1933, the National Broadcasting Company took over Our Child as an important link in its widespreading broadcasting system. But a few years later, the Chronicle management showed its belief in radio-newspaper cooperation by joining forces with NBC in some very interesting programs. Unfortunately, Pearl Harbor arrived to force us to give up our air activities. But we still have a big interest in radio and are great believers in the value of radio-newspaper cooperation. We certainly do not join with those who fear radio either wants to or is going to put the newspaper out of business. It is rather our thought that radio and the newspaper have their own separate fields and complement each other in their services to the public. We have done much, I think, to dispel the old mutual feeling of fear and jealousy that once existed, and we now meet as friends. And so it is a privilege tonight to be permitted to present the Chronicle's congratulations to manager John Elwood and to the National Broadcasting Company on this 25th birthday anniversary of our little child station KPO. And to borrow a phrase, may she live long and prosper.
Right now, another compliment to KPO's 25 years of history, and this time from the president of the National Broadcasting Company, Niles Trammell.
Heartiest congratulations and best wishes to you and the staff of radio station KPO on attaining your 25th anniversary in radio. As one of the early radio stations, KPO, pioneered by Hale Brothers and the Chronicle, has always maintained the highest standards of programming and service to the public, and has brought much credit to itself and to the National Broadcasting Company. The growth of KPO from a tiny 100-watt station in 1922 to the powerful 50,000-watt station it is today should be measured in far more than mere physical terms. Through its consistent schedules of the best in entertainment, education, and information on the West Coast, and by the creation of many fine programs that were broadcast over the entire NBC network, KPO has indeed earned the tributes which are now so fittingly accorded to it on its silver anniversary. I am confident that in the next 25 years, KPO will go on to greater heights of public service to its community and to the nation. Sincerely, Niles Trammell, President, National Broadcasting Company.
You know, friends, an event like this never fails to bring back just a lot of memories. We'll be doing a lot of talking about April 17th, 1922, before the evening is over. And maybe you'll remember that, flapper pumps were being introduced in local shoe stores at $6.85. Prohibition was spawning the nightclubs, which later were to be referred to as speaks or speakeasies. The Four Horsemen of Notre Dame ran roughshod through, around, over their gridiron opponents. And Merton of the movies was the big comedy success of the year. Yes, there was more, too, lots more. But what we're leading up to is that a young man named John Elwood became Secretary of the Radio Corporation of America in 1922. Now, actually, he was closely associated with radio long before it became a reality for most of us, having entered the field through the General Electric Company in 1917. Today, John Elwood is the manager of KPO, one of the largest stations in the NBC network. And it's a real pleasure to ask Mr. Elwood for a few remarks pertinent to the 25th birthday of his present charge. Mr. Elwood, if you will, sir.
Thank you, Hal. Tonight, as I listen with you to this 25th anniversary program, told in story and song, I am mindful of events preceding these. The efforts of men who collectively contributed to the development of radio, nursing it from an unpredictable, squalling, squeaky infant to a full-throated giant serving every nook and corner of the land. Starting in business 30 years ago, it was my privilege to work with and to know intimately many of the pioneers of radio. It seems to me that they and their work fall into four categories, four mighty pillars upon which the foundation of radio was built. First came the scientists, the trailblazers in an unknown craft, Marconi, Edison, Conrad, Stevenson, General Carty, Pupini. I remember standing in the General Electric Research Laboratories, watching the industrious, incredible Charles Steinmetz, a little man with a tortured body and a magnificent mind, creating magic out of mathematics. William Coolidge, producing the X-ray too in the same laboratories. In other laboratories, Armstrong with his regenerative circuit, Lee DeForest and his Audion too. They and their companions laid the scientific foundation, the first of the four pillars of radio. But who had the courage, the faith, and the ingenuity to gamble with these untried scientific potential and convert them to a new means of American expression? And Dr. Black, director of music for NBC, is here in the studio with us tonight. These were a few of the first, from whence came the long line of continuing, improved network programs, augmented in San Francisco at KPO's by local features, of which you will hear more about tonight. From these four pillars of the past, we hope to shape the course of our tomorrows and retain your continued confidence.
Thank you, Mr. Elwood. During these 25 years of KPO's history, it has made many contributions to the development of the state of California. And tonight on this program, the governor of the state pays his compliments to KPO on its 25th birthday. The affairs of the state kept the governor from being with us tonight, but he sends his message to us by recording, and we will now hear from Governor Earl Warren of the state of California.
I am very happy to join with John Elwood and my other friends of radio station KPO in this celebration of KPO's 25th birthday. The radio broadcasting industry itself is only about a quarter of a century old, which makes KPO one of the real pioneer stations. During that quarter of a century, radio broadcasting has become an integral part of our daily lives. It is now one of the principal means of disseminating entertainment and news, and is serving to bind our nation together more closely than ever before, because of the instantaneous contact that is now possible between all parts of the country. Radio is contributing to the better understanding of public questions. Great radio forums present both sides of these questions, and in this way, we become better informed and therefore better citizens. Radio is also helping to bring about a closer understanding of the traditions and ways of other people. This understanding, I am sure, will prove to be the greatest factor of our time for international peace. The magnificent work of KPO in coordinating overseas news and information during the war will never be forgotten. It was a service of vital importance, not only to our nation, but also to our allies. KPO's part in the development of radio broadcasting has been an important one. This station has brought to the people of its listening area many of the outstanding programs and features of the past 25 years. I predict a future for KPO in the world of education, in the world of great music and drama, in the world of entertainment, and in the world of laughter, which is also very important. You have a marvelous destiny. I therefore congratulate the men and women of KPO, and on behalf of the people of California, I extend best wishes to you on this significant anniversary.
And I see John Elwood coming over here toward the microphone again, and he has a whole handful here of some messages, and I know they are messages of congratulation and compliment to station KPO on this anniversary. So, John, I'll just let you do the work and read those messages yourself.
I'm sorry to come back on the microphone again, but since this program has been on the air all of yesterday and so far today, to just take a minute or two longer, I think you'll all be interested in who they're from, not necessarily what they say. Here's a telegram from Jim Laughlin, who for many years was the manager of KPO for Hale Brothers and the Chronicle. Here's a message from Grace LePage. Unfortunately, I didn't know her, but I'm sure that many of you did. So she is wishing you all happy returns of the day. And here's another message from Rudy Seeger. I'm very sorry that Rudy couldn't be here, because it's one of my first memories when I came to San Francisco of hearing Rudy at the Fairmont Hotel. We can't close the meeting without acknowledging telegrams from the American Federation of Radio Artists in San Francisco. Also from the Radio Listeners Committee of the American Association of University Women. From Henry B. King, the president of the San Francisco Junior Chamber of Commerce. From Carl J. Eastman, president of the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce. From Lou Townsend, president of the San Francisco Advertising Club. From George Smith, the president of the Downtown Association. Now, if I can have just one more word, I'd like to express my thanks to everyone who has ever participated in any program on KPO, but particularly tonight, I would like to thank Hal Burdick, Tony Freeman, Harlow Burgess, Russ Butler, who sat in the control room, all the announcers who participated, and I want to say that I'm very regretful that Dick Bracandius, who built and put this show together,
had to leave this afternoon because he was ill. But Harry Bubeck, our program manager, stepped in and carried on. I don't know how you feel, radio audience, our guests in the studio, artists old or new, but I feel 25 years younger. God bless you all.
Well, we've tried to run the gamut of names and faces on this 25th anniversary of KPO, but we knew we couldn't. It just wouldn't be possible to cover 25 years of broadcasting and all the people that served as the warp and woof of its fabric. But KPO pays tribute to all who helped build the foundation, from the 100-watt station on Hale Brothers' roof to the 50,000-watt operation in the modern studios of Radio City at Taylor and O'Farrell Streets in San Francisco. Now a genuine thank you from John Elwood to all those who participated in this evening's ceremonies. And one thing more before we draw the curtain on KPO's 25th anniversary. This is Hal Burdick saying, why don't we end this on the proper note, which is Auld Lang Syne. Tony, suppose you take it.
This has been the 2.5-hour 25th anniversary broadcast of KPO, your NBC station in San Francisco. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.